speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Judgment is a big deal amongst our current society. You know, we live in an age today where everyone not only wants acceptance, but we live in an age today where people are seeking it to the point to where they are even demanding everyone accept each one for whatever position that they are in life. I read this morning, in fact, on Facebook that someone posted they will remember 2015 as the year where everyone was offended by someone for anything or something like that. We live in an age where everyone is offended by the truth, and that, I believe, is indeed the case. And what we find in our current society is that Christians are often accused of being judgmental. And in that, I say that we are indeed judgmental, and if we're not, there is that angle or element where we should be. Why? Because there is authorization for it in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the saints at Corinth, said, "Do you not know that the saints will judge the world?" And that's not that we will judge them in the eternal judgment, but friends, that means that every single day of our lives, we cast some sort of a judgment upon the world. In that, we need to be careful that we do not practice self-righteousness, that we are not trying to judge people based out of our own personal thoughts or opinions. And this is indeed condemned in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through verse 5. But yet, as we look to practicing judgment upon the world, we need to understand that we are called to do that, that we are obligated to judge the world, and therefore that we are to practice righteous judgment, the type of judgment that Jesus spoke of in the book of John chapter 7 and verse 24. Why do we speak against sin? Why do we speak to individuals and tell our families and friends or people that we meet in life that God condemns sin? And if they're living in sin, why do we even identify what those sins are? Friends, it is because we love God, as well as it's due to the fact that we love the souls of man. And we do not want man to be lost eternally. You see, we judge because of God's judgment. The Bible very clearly tells us that there is a day coming when every single one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. As I think in regard to judgment, I want to begin by pointing out is that the Bible identifies that there is a twofold division time and time again as it comes to humanity. Take into consideration the context of the book of Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through verse 30, the parable of the wheat and the tares, and how that the tare comes up in and amongst the wheat, but yet at the same time it is allowed to remain. Yet God identifies is that whenever the harvest comes, is that the tare will be torn out and it will be burned up. What is the meaning of this parable? Friends, it speaks in reference to Christianity. Those who are members of the body of Christ and those who are of the world. We live in the world today as Christians, and the tares of the world is in and around and amongst us. But the day will come when all will stand before the judgment seat of God, and there will be a division made, and the tares will be cast into eternal condemnation or eternal hell. But also we read from the context of the Lord's words in the book of Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through verse 46. And in this context, we find that the Son of Man will separate the sheep from the goat. And the sheep from the goat here is not another illustration or an allusion to the Christians and the world, but rather he's looking inside the church. And as he speaks in reference to this separation, he identifies the faithful child of God as the sheep and the hypocrites, those who claim to be members of the church, those who have been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, but yet they live their life contrary to the will of God. They live their life according to the way of the world. God identifies these individuals as hypocrites, time and time again that in this context, as the goats, and he says that when man stands before God, there will be a great divide amongst those who are faithful and those who live in a hypocritical manner. Friends, also, we find this great divide in the words of our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and verse 14, there is a mass who follow according to the broad way. And there's only a few who will find the narrow way. The broad way, in that context, the Scripture says, leads to destruction. I want us to understand that as we not only study the immediate context, but the overall context of under these considerations, is that he's speaking about eternal condemnation for these individuals who are on this broad way. For those who are on the narrow way, he's speaking about those who have found the truth. He's speaking about Christians, again, who not only have found the truth and obey the truth, but who are seeking each and every day to walk in accordance to the will of God. And these individuals who are on the narrow way, they will indeed be rewarded in the day of judgment. But those who are on the broad path, these people will be eternally separated from our God. He is speaking about truth seekers versus those who are blind souls. And we need to be people who are always truth seekers and then applying that true standard to our life so that we are not found on the broad way that leads to destruction. Another passage in regard to this divide amongst humanity that I want to point out before we get into the meat of the lesson, it comes from the book of Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through verse 13. And the parable here is in reference to the foolish virgins who lose out versus the wise virgins who are able to enter in. And God depicts these individuals in this parable to identify our need to be wise, our need to always stand prepared to make sure that not only have we put Christ on in baptism, but that we are constantly making sure that we are shining as a light unto the lost and dying world, and that we are not found as those who are foolish, who were there, but yet at the same time, whenever the hour came, we lose out. We need to be wise versus those who are fool. Friends, today I want to consider this school of thought in moving forward with the great divide amongst humanity as it would pertain to the Lord's words in the book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 1 through chapter 25 and verse 46. There are two judgments that are presented here by the Lord in this context, beginning in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through verse 35. He speaks in reference to the Lord's judgment on Jerusalem. And it's important for us to point out, as we begin consideration of His judgment upon Jerusalem, is that whenever Jesus Christ died at Calvary's cross, the Scripture identifies is that the law was nailed to the cross, and therefore removing those ordinances that was contrary to man, keeping man at bay, not enabling man to live in a complete, acceptable way before God, and a new and better way in Jesus Christ has been established, wherein that we walk by faith, where that we are saved by also the grace of God, conjoined with our obedience. And in this, though, we need to understand is that even though the law of Moses had been nailed to the cross when our Lord died, the Scripture also identifies is that Judaism continued on. Why did it continue on? It did not continue on from an authorization standpoint. In other words, God has this new and better covenant, but rather because of the seed or the roots attached with Judaism. It was a governing body within itself. And for that reason, it took time for the church, as the church is growing throughout various regions, for them to get the message out with regard to what true New Testament Christianity is all about. And friends, by 70 AD, that message was certainly out. And what we find here, though, in the Lord's words, whenever He walked amongst the people of that day, is that He predicted the fall of Judaism. During the discourse of what we find in the book of Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 and verse 2, Jesus promised to utterly destroy the very center of Judaism. How did He do that? He pointed to the temple and the building surrounding the temple. And in the context of Matthew 24, beginning in verse 2, I want to read, "And Jesus said to them, Do you not see all of these things? Assuredly, I say unto you, not one stone will be left upon another that it shall not be thrown down." Jesus is speaking about the temple and the building surrounding. And He says that the temple itself, it is going to be destroyed. And everything that the Jews did from a Judaistic standpoint, from the law of Moses, centered in and around that temple. And this would have been mind-boggling to the people of that day. What do you mean you're going to destroy the temple? This is what our life revolves around. And friends, in this, not only would they have been perplexed as to why the temple is going to fall, but also we find is that the disciples of that day, they're very curious as to when these things are going to take place. In fact, if you read from the context of the book of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3, the disciples said, "What will be the signs of your coming and the end of the age?" They understood that there was an age that was going to cease to exist. And also they were looking for ways that they would be able to see it coming upon them. And it's interesting as you go into the context is that the Lord gives very explicit instructions in regard to what the signs will be about His coming upon Jerusalem for this destruction. As He gives this awareness, He identifies in part by saying in verse 19, "But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babes." He says, in those days. What days? The day that this great destruction will come. And then He goes on to say, "And pray that the flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath." Why on winter or at the Sabbath? The Sabbath limited in regard to how far an individual was permitted to go. And therefore He says, pray that it's not going to take place upon the Sabbath or at wintertime. Why? Having lived in the Northeast, I know that winter can really be treacherous. And even here in the South, where we don't get a lot of snow, we get some snow. And even if you don't have the snow, the cold weather, you know me, I don't like the cold. The cold weather can wreak havoc upon our abilities to be able to perform and to do various things. And these things would have served as a hindrance to these people in leaving Jerusalem. And Christians, this is, leaving Jerusalem and being able to avoid the great destruction. And friends, what we find here is that the Christians, from a historical standpoint, were able to flee. And as they fled unto Pella, the Scripture, as well as history, reveals to us is that not a single Christian perished. Why? Because they were looking for the signs of His coming. They knew that the Lord was going to judge Israel, that He was going to remove the Judaical system. And in this, what we read from the context is that Jerusalem's judgment enabled the Judaism system to fall completely. It was totally obliterated whenever the Lord came in 70 AD. And we need to understand that as we speak with those in the religious world, they are confused. The majority are confused about this. They believe that it's speaking in reference to the fall of man when the Lord returns, and that when the Lord comes, there's going to be all of these signs, and that it's going to set forth a day of tribulation, a time where that mass confusion and chaos will be upon the earth, and that there will be this gathering together through a rapture of saints in the air. And friends, that's not what is under consideration in this context. He's speaking of something that you and I know has already taken place, and that these people were given signs so that they would be prepared for that fall, for that day. And indeed, the Lord followed through with the promises that He made to the Christians of that era. But you know, there's a transition that takes place in verse 36. In verse 36, He says, "But of that day and hour knows no man." The transition goes then from the day where there is going to be signs to a time where there will not be any signs at all given. And in this context, I want us to understand that He is pointing to the final judgment. In this setting, he is identifying that Jesus Christ is coming again. The same message that is proclaimed at Pentecost and beyond throughout the epistles is that the Lord not only ascended into heaven, but the Lord is indeed going to return. He's not going to return to the earth, but rather He's going to appear in the sky. And when the Lord comes, the Bible identifies concerning this day and that hour is that no one is going to be able to tell because there's no signs that are given. In fact, the Scripture emphatically tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 2 is that He will come as a thief in the night. And what is it that God wants us to know in regard to this final judgment? Friends, God wants every soul to be instructed in regard to the need for us to watch, to always look and to understand, is our life in line with the will of God? But also as we are watching in regard to the return of the Lord, we also then are instructed to be ready for that great and glorious day. How can we be ready for the return of Christ? It's not on our own accord. But rather it's whenever we read and study from God's Word and we find the path that He has for us, the requirements that He sets forth for mankind for matters of salvation, and then our embracing those things through obedience and love. God wants man to watch for that day and to be ready. Why does He want us to do this? Friends, Christians are expected to labor diligently each and every day of our life. God wants us to understand that there are works for us to do. If you note the context of the book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 45 and following, He speaks about faithful servants and evil servants and our need to always be identified as the faithful servant. And what is it that God not only gives us to do, but how does God expect us to be counted as a faithful servant? Friends, if you go on to the context of Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through verse 30, He speaks there about the parable of the talents. God not only gives us responsibility, He not only shows us that there are things that we must be doing as His children, as servants of Christ, but He also says that He has blessed us and will continually bless us time and again with talents, abilities, to be able to perform the task that He lays in front of us. And therefore, God says to us that as we are watching, as we are striving each and every day to be ready for the return of the Lord, that we need to be people who are engaged in worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, that we need to be people who are involved each and every day of our life in laboring diligently in the works of the Lord, in the kingdom, individually as well as collectively. Why? Because we've already pointed this out, but I'm going to emphasize it a little more in this context, is that there will be a day where all of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and there will be a separation, a divide, where there will not be any more coming together in regard to these two areas or these two people. The separation will be between the sheep and the goat. The sheep will be blessed in the fact that they will be able to dwell eternally in heaven with God. And in this, the goats, they will be separated from the presence of God eternally without end. The Bible identifies that God's judgment for each soul is fair. Why is it fair? Because it's according to the standards that God has given us. Why is God's judgment going to be fair? Because He's given us instructions in regard to the fact that He is coming again in Christ and that there is going to be a day of judgment. And for that reason, He tells us time and again to watch, to study, to be prepared for that great day. And it's fair in that sense. And God is fair in the fact that He also knows every detail of our life. You and I, whenever we judge, I said at the very beginning of the lesson, we've got to be very careful not to be self-righteous, not even to come across in a self-righteous manner. Why? Because sometimes we can do that. And sometimes when we judge, we can allow our opinions to get in the way And therefore, we've got to be very careful and to make sure that as we are speaking in reference to sin and people living in sin, as that word given in book, chapter, and verse, God's not like us. God has an awareness of every single individual and every aspect of each person's life. And therefore, He is fair in His judgment. Friends, also, His judgment is final. It is forever. Those who are rewarded with heaven will go on to an eternal reward. What's that mean, eternal reward? Eternal means that it's without end. We live in a world today where that we have a beginning and we have an end. We buy products like that, do we not? We buy things and we live in what we say is a throwaway world. It's not going to last forever. Well, as we look to our life even, we look and we say, well, we're here, and then we cease to exist. That's not true. We're here, we die, but we don't cease to exist. The Bible identifies that every one of us has a soul, and that soul lives on even after we stop living in the flesh. The soul will stand before God in judgment, and for those who are counted as God's faithful children, we will live eternally without end. And for those of us who are Christians, striving every day to please God, to glorify Him in our lives, and to reach out to the lost and dying world, we can take and look at these blessings and live in peace and also with hope and anticipation for the Lord's return. But those who are outside of Christ, those who are in the world or alien sinners, or even those who are hypocrites in the church, who aren't living their life consistent with true New Testament Christianity, the Bible says that in that great divide, your reward is actually not very rewarding if you think about it. It will be a place of condemnation. To be condemned is to not only be rebuked, but friends, it means that you're lost eternally. It means that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth in that flame. It means that you will never be able to see the presence of God. You'll stand before Him in judgment, but never be able to see the presence of God again. That's only for the saved. If you're here this morning, we want you to know that the judgment is coming. The final judgment that God has in Christ. And God wants us to share that message, not to scare us to death, but also to challenge our faith. So that we might examine our life and to say, am I lost or am I saved? Do I have anything to fear in that day, or can I look forward to that great day? If you are living in fear of that day, we want to invite you with the Lord's call to become one of His children. If you're living in faith and anticipate the Lord's return, we say, keep on keeping on. If you're subject to the Lord's call in any way, please come.